Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing. I ain't gotta worry about nothing. Nothing. I ain't gotta worry about nothing.
In the presence of my enemy.
Nothing. I ain't gotta worry about nothing.
Tonight, God is good and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that the Lord has spared our lives to see another day. As we get ready to study the Word of God tonight, we are starting a prayer part, several parts to this, which is called Prayer is Your Greatest Weapon. Prayer is your greatest weapon. It is a series that we will be doing for several weeks, and I hope that you will listen in and tune in as we study the Word of God, understanding that prayer is our greatest weapon and that we cannot do anything in life without lifting up praises unto the Lord our God. But just before we begin studying tonight, let us pray. Dear Lord, I just give you praise and glory and honor. I thank you. Hallelujah. You're worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. Majesty, dominion, and power belonging unto you. Lord, as we study the Word of God tonight, I pray, oh God, that you would use me for your glory and your honor. I pray, oh God, that you would touch those who are listening from around the world. Touch them right now, Lord. Heal those who need to be healed. Hallelujah. We know that you're a God that delivers and sets free. And I thank you right now for your healing touch upon your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, we are going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 17. We're looking at verses 1 to 24 if we have time. But our topic tonight is prayer is your greatest weapon, and this is part one. What we will be doing over this series is looking at different characters in the Bible who use prayer as a weapon, and we'll be looking at how God answered their prayers, how God answered their prayers, and encouraging you to pray, knowing that God will also answer your prayers. And so as we begin, let us look at Kings chapter 17. And the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." The word that's used there for God is the word Elohim, Elohim, and it also means Jehovah. Elijah the Tishbite, one of the greatest prophets of the Bible, he was definitely not someone to be played with. He truly put his trust in God. He walked by faith, and God used him mightily. One of the attributes that you will see with Elijah the Tishbite is the fact that he obeyed God. Not only did he obey God, but he was faithful to God, and he was also someone who prayed. If we are to be victorious in this life, we must learn how to pray. In this season of our life, we must learn how to pray. Of all the things I have done throughout my life, one of the greatest things that I have engaged in personally is to be in prayer. Somehow we get so busy in our lives that we forget to spend time in prayer. Perhaps we do pray. We may pray on the way out the door. We may pray on the way to bed. We may say a quick prayer when we're having something to eat. But I want to call us back to serious prayer. I'm calling my own self back into serious prayer. I'm calling on all those who are listening to my voice to get back to real intercessory prayer, where you are seeking God consistently, where you're seeking God with all your heart, where you're seeking God and knowing that he hears and that he will answer prayer. Elijah the Tishbite, as we see at the beginning of 1 Kings chapter 17, that he was not afraid to confront wickedness. When Elijah declared that it would not rain, when he said no dew, it means that not even anything on the grass, nothing at all would fall from the sky. When he declared that over that area, he did not stutter. He did not blink. He declared it in the name of the Lord because he was tired of the wickedness in the land. How many of you know that when you get tired of wickedness, you will begin to pray and you will begin to seek the face of God, because only praying people can turn back the wickedness. And let me just say this. We might not be able to stop the things that will come to pass because we know that we're living in the last days, but we can hold back some of the wickedness that would happen in our neighborhoods by going into prayer. The Bible tells us in First Kings chapter 17, verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So obviously God was the one who directed him to declare that there would be no rain. And as you know, if there's no rain in the land, then there will be drought, which means that crops will fail and cattle will die. This was not to really punish the regular people, but it was to punish really their leaders and how they had led the people into wickedness and into worshiping false gods. And so God knew that the people would be mad at Elijah for what he had declared over their land. And so he told him where to go. How many of you know that God will be a shelter to you anytime you need shelter, anytime you need refuge, that God will be that refuge and strength in the time of need? The Bible tells us in verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. We see that Elisha, having been faithful in speaking what God told him, declaring that no rain would fall, this he declared because of the wickedness of the people, that God took care of him. God sent the ravens who fed him bread in the morning and flesh And in the evening also, once again, they brought him something to eat. And then he was able to drink off that brook while it still had water. Understand that if you are faithful to God, and if you declare the things that God has spoken into your spirit and told you to speak unto the people of the land, whatever country you're living in, I want you to know that God will be faithful in taking care of your family and in meeting your every need. The Bible tells us in verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had not been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So now Elijah moves into another stage. He is no longer going to be hiding out by himself, and the ravens would go back to whatever they were doing. Now he had to travel to another city for this next part of his journey. How many of you know that as we travel along this journey called life, that God will direct you every step of the way, every part of the journey of your life? And, you know, I feel the presence of God even while I'm saying this, because I have been in several different seasons where God had me doing one thing for many, many years, and then he took me into another season, and I feel like I'm still on an adventure where God is directing me and telling me every move I make, he's saying, okay, move left or move right. And I hope you also feel that way, dear friend, that every stage of your life, you are allowing God to direct you. And I see this as I'm reading, as God directs Elijah now to go to Zarephath, and how he has another person, no longer ravens, now a widow woman, who is about to sustain him through this famine in the land. Because, of course, if there is no rain, like I said, the crops would fail, the cattle would die, and of course, there would become somewhat of a famine in the land because nothing is growing and everything starts to die without the rain. And so look at this in verse 10. In 1 Kings chapter 17, the Bible says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, this is the same person who declared that it would not rain, who declared that no dew would fall upon the earth. And he knew that water was now scarce, but yet he went to the widow woman by faith, because God had told him to go to this widow woman. And this would also be a test of her faith, because she knew that she did not have much. And how many of you know that when we do not have much, God still expects us to give of what little we have to be a blessing to someone else? And so Elijah comes to this woman, and he asks her to give him something to drink. Look at her response in verse 11. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. So now he's not only asking her for something to drink, but also something to eat. And this is when she responds. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Eat it and die. Now understand that as a widow woman, not having a husband there to take care of her, back then women were very dependent on their husbands or their sons. to help in preparing, you know, taking care of the family and taking care of the necessities, you know, especially in the field and what have you. Although women were very helpful in the fields as well, we know that not having a man in the household would cause this woman to even be much poorer than she would have been, much more poor than she would have been if her husband had been there. And so here she is just with her young son, and she is going to eat what little she has left and die. In her mind, she was going to die because she knew that she did not have any more crops. She did not have any more oil. She didn't have much water, didn't have much of anything right now. And she was prepared to die, as many people have during this pandemic, that many people lost their lives. Many people were hungry. So we know even in our modern pandemic about people dying and about them not having enough. In this particular time, this lady did not have much. She was preparing what she thought was her last meal. How many of you know that when you think that you're down to nothing, hallelujah, God is up to something. I want you to know that God sees what you have need of. God understands what you are going through. God knows your heart, and he knows the desires of your heart. And if you would continue to be faithful to God, God will work it out for you. God will help you in every area of your life. Trust God and realize that everything that you have need of, he is going to supply it. He is going to take care of you and all those connected to you. The Bible tells us in verse 13, and Elisha said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. So Elisha heard what the lady said. He heard when she said that she only had a little bit, just enough for herself and her son. But Elijah, as a man of God, hallelujah, believing God, knowing that the God that he served was the God, the only true and the living God, the miracle-working God, the God who is above and beyond anything that we could see or imagine or comprehend, he knew that his God would not fail him. He knew that he served the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew that the God of the universe would not allow him nor this woman and her son to die. So even though he was sent to this woman to for her to sustain him, what God actually did was send him there to make sure that she and her son did not die. How many of you know that sometimes when you think that you're going to be a blessing to someone else, God can use that same person to be a blessing to you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God used him to bless that woman's household, to sustain her, and her son. Let's look at verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now, as you read on, or as you study the scripture, you'll find out that it really did not rain for 3 years. And I don't know how long into it this was. I'm sure it was not that long, because I mean, he just left from the ravens sustaining him, and now he's on to this woman's house. Said to this woman, this little bit of cornmeal that you have, this little bit of oil that you have, it is not going to stop sustaining you, sustaining me, sustaining your son until the rain falls. Now, if that isn't a miracle, then I don't know what is. And dear friend, if that doesn't get you excited, then I don't know what else will. To know that the little bit that you have, that God is able to sustain you through crisis, that God is able to sustain you through whatever the enemy will throw against you, that God is able to sustain you even when you don't feel strength in your body, that God is able to strengthen your body, that God is able to encourage you in the work that you're doing. God is able to help you right now. Do not be discouraged. Do not throw in the towel. Do not stop what you're doing because God sees you. He knows you. He understands he understands what you have been doing on his behalf, and he says right now, don't stop doing the good things that you're doing. Continue working. Continue pushing forward because he is going to take care of you. The Bible tells us in verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elisha, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. God can sustain you, dear friend. When the woman was obedient to the voice of the prophet Elisha, she did what he told her to do. Remember, she proclaimed that she only had a little bit of cornmeal and a little bit of oil. And he said, listen, I hear what you're saying, but go make me something to eat first. And after you feed the prophet of God, you will live for many days on that same little meal, on that same little oil. It will last for many, 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 many days. Oh, did you hear what I said? If you will trust the Lord, if you would put your faith in God, if you would walk by faith, if you would continue praying, remember that your greatest weapon is prayer. If you would praying and seeking God and trusting God, God is going to sustain you for many, 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 many days. Hallelujah. The Bible says, as Elijah spoke it, that's the way it happened. I wish I had two or three or maybe 100 or 1,000 people, maybe 10,000 people that would begin to declare over your life right now that whatever God has spoken over you, that it will come to pass, that God is going to sustain you, that God is going to give you strength. Oh, come on and praise God right now. He is giving you strength. He is giving you what you need to make it. God is going to sustain you, dear friend. You're going to make it. You are going to make it. The Bible says in verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elisha. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no more breath left in him. Now remember, Elisha is a man of prayer. The little boy in the house, he got sick, and the Bible says his breath left him. That means that he was laying there like he was dead, couldn't breathe. And the Bible says in verse 18, and she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? I don't know what sin she is referring to, but she thinks that perhaps something that she did in her past is being held against her, and so the man of God is allowing her child to die. Look in verse 19, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. So, of course, she had an upper loft where Elisha slept. He did not sleep on the regular level with her and her son. And so he took the boy up into this upper chamber. Isn't it something about going up into that upper room? Hallelujah. That upper room deliverance, dear friend. He took the boy up, laid him on the bed. And in verse 20, and he cried unto the Lord. Who cried unto the Lord? Elijah cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And so he begins to question God and say, Lord, you know, why is it that this happened to this little boy? You know, I'm staying here with her. She's taking care of me. She is feeding me. She is giving me shelter during this time. Why would you allow something bad to happen to her son? How many of you know that sometimes bad things do happen to wonderful people? And we have the enemy to blame because he comes to attack the people of God. But when you begin to pray and when you begin to rebuke the enemy, how many of you know that he has to back up? He has to back up from your family. Anoint your house. Pray. Seek the face of God. Let prayer be. Prayer is your greatest weapon, friend. So Elijah put the little boy on the bed. When he cried out to the Lord, in look at verse 21, and he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Of course, we know that in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God did move, and God used his prophets mightily. And so Elijah stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord. And when we say cried unto the Lord, it's the equivalent of really praying, right? He's crying out to God in prayer, in earnestness, saying, God, please, please bring this child back to life, right? He says, oh, Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. This is his prayer. This is his earnest prayer that this child, 22, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. This little boy went on a journey. I don't know what visions he saw when he was on this journey, but his soul had left his body. He was literally dead. Elijah prayed that prayer of faith. When he prayed that prayer of faith, the Bible says, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. That's verse 22. Elijah heard. God heard Elijah's voice. Dear friend, when you pray, God hears your voice. God hears you when you pray. And so don't ever think that when you pray that God does not hear you, because he does. The Bible says in verse 23, and Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. So Elijah brought the child unto his mother and said, your son liveth. Isn't that awesome to know that when you pray, God hears you? Elijah prayed and God heard him. And the child came back to life. I don't know what you have been praying about. Perhaps you have been praying about your physical body. Maybe you're sick and you need to be healed. By faith right now, pray and ask God to heal you, and he will heal you. He will touch your body. By faith, believe God right now, whether it is for your finances or for your job or for your children, for your spouse. Believe God right now. Pray. Prayer is your greatest weapon. God hears and he answers prayers, and he will hear your cry unto him. When Elijah cried out to God, the verbiage in that verse, it did not say pray, but that's what he was doing. He was crying out to God in his own way, praying to God and saying, God, please revive this child. When he prayed, God answered him. I want you to begin to pray right now. I want you to begin to talk to God right now. Whatever it is that you have need of, that you have been praying about, don't give up, but begin to pray. Begin to trust God. Whatever it is that you have been seeking God about, don't stop seeking God, because God is ready to answer your prayers. A lot of times, it's not that God does not want to answer our prayers. It's because we stop believing. We stop trusting. You know, sometimes when you have been praying about something for a long time, you think that just because God hasn't answered the prayer yet, that God did not hear you. But I want you to know, from the moment you opened your mouth and began praying, that God heard you. And he has already sent your response. Hallelujah. Don't stop believing. Don't stop trusting, but know that God has heard your prayer. Prayer is your greatest weapon. Look at verse 24. The Bible says in 1 Kings 17:24, and the woman said to Elisha, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Hallelujah. You know, people believe you when they see a miracle. They really do. You know, if someone gets out of a wheelchair and they walk, wow, what a miracle. If the deaf ears are open, wow, what a miracle. If someone is blind and they see, and that's why throughout the New Testament and beyond, even into our current modern society, God has not stopped doing miracles, because there's something about a miraculous thing that points people to God and lets them know that God is still real and he's still alive. So I want you to know that God has never stopped allowing miracles to take place. You might be that miracle. You might be that miracle. And so if you're needing to be healed, have faith in God. Let God heal you. Allow the healing power of God to go through your body right now. Allow the healing power of God to flow through your heart right now. If you are having unforgiveness in your heart, forgive that person right now. If you're holding bitterness in your heart right now, let go of that bitterness in the name of Jesus. God has great things for you to do, and you cannot keep looking back. You know, sometimes I look back and I start, you know, talking foolishness, and I have to stop myself, you know, because I hear myself talking foolishness. You know, sometimes you try to rehash the past, and you have to stop rehashing the past and just let it go. Let it go so that God can move you to your next level of anointing. God wants you to use the power of prayer, which is your greatest weapon. He wants you to move past hurt, past pain, past regret, past all of that. He wants you to move past every disappointment that you've had in your life and allow him to bring you, to usher you into his presence, to usher you into his anointing. Oh, glory be to God. To usher you into his presence, where you have nothing in your heart against anyone. You don't have anything in your heart against, you know, past or previous relationships, where you are just letting everything go and saying, God, here I am. Renew me. Refresh me. Make me into what you want me to be. Help me to draw close to you. Begin to have that prayer time with you where I could feel your presence and feel your anointing. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. God wants that type of relationship with you, dear friend, that when you open up your mouth and speak, people around you know that the hand of God is upon you. People around you know that you have been in the presence of God and that you're not just talking off the top of your head, but that the anointing is flowing through you, that God himself is directing your steps. When Elijah spoke to that woman, she must have felt something go through her body, something like the power of God go through her body when he spoke to her and said, listen, I need you to make me something to eat first before you make yourself something. She saw the man of God. She heard him. She did as he said, and she and her son were sustained. And then when her son got sick, the man of God prayed over her son, and the boy revived. How many of you know that God, no respecter of persons? You've heard me say this before. And so if he used the prophet Elisha in ancient Israelite times, he can also use you today, today, today. God can use you right now. Pray and say, God, what is my gift? What do you want me to do? Lord, teach me how to use my hands for your glory, how to use my speech for your glory, how to use my feet for your glory. Lord, whatever my gifts are, use them for your glory so that you can be glorified. Lord, I want your name to be glorified through my life. Use me. Hallelujah. Use me, Lord. Use me for your glory and for your honor, for you alone are worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. Psalm 145, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Hallelujah. How many of you know that every generation should bless the name of the Lord? And we should not keep it to ourselves, but we should pass it on to the generations coming behind us. One of the things that are of concern to me is us passing on this weapon of prayer to the generation coming behind us. Yes, we used to have a lot of prayer meetings, but now we have a generation of youth coming behind us that need to experience those powerful prayer meetings. And so whatever we do, we must bring the youth into it. We must draw them into prayer. We must draw them into the anointing. Hallelujah. You know, I'm always blessed when I look online and see a worshiping church, and I also see the ones that are under 10 shouting and praising God, as well as the adults. We must understand that as we move into these coming years, as we move into this season where things that are immoral and perverse are just permeating our society, we must use that weapon, which is our greatest weapon, and it is called prayer. We must shut in our prayer rooms once again. We must shut in with our congregations once again. We must call our youth and our elders into prayer once again, because prayer is our greatest weapon. Today, if you're under the hearing of my voice, I want to declare to you that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to declare to you that our God still sits on his throne. I want to declare to you that today is the day of salvation for you. I want to declare to you that your life is being transformed right now under the hearing of my voice. I want to declare to you that God loves you very much and that you are not alone you will never be alone. I want to declare to you that the love of God that is in my heart can also transform you and make you into the man or woman of God that you were meant to be. Don't ever think that you have done or said anything that can keep you from God, but know this, that God is standing with open arms to receive you. Today is your day to make prayer your weapon also. Open up your mouth and call on Jesus. Open up your mouth and ask Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Pass away, and behold, all things have become new. I want to encourage you, dear friend, to take this step of faith to serve God. Allow God to transform your heart. Allow him to mold you, to make you into what he wants you to be by surrendering your will to his. Surrender everything to him right now. He wants you to be part of his family, the family of God. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I realized that years ago it seemed as if serving God was so boring, but I want you to know that I've had an exciting journey serving God, and you will too. The moment you decide to serve God and to give him your all, you'll say, wow, I wish I had done this years ago. Today is your day, dear friend. Prayer is your greatest weapon. God wants you to be part of our prayer team. He wants you to be part of this family of friends who stand in faith, believing that there's nothing too hard for God to do. As I get ready to sign off, dear friend, I'm going to play one or two songs from our group out of Fort Lauderdale. And it is Uhart, Brother Uhart, Blake, and My God Israel. Listen to this song, My God Israel.
Yeah.
That was My God Is Real, Brother Uhart Blake out of Fort Lauderdale, Second Chance Ministries. I want to give you one more, Nothing But the Blood, Nothing But the Blood. Praise the Lord, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want us to pray, and then I want to just share one last song with you before our outro song. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord God, for all those who study with us tonight. Pray, oh God, that you will continue to bless, Lord God, for that one that is seeking your face right now. Pray, oh God, that you would save him or her. Lord God, I praise your name tonight for allowing us to study this topic. Prayer is our greatest weapon. And I pray, oh God, that you would move and make your son and your daughter into what you want him or her to be. And Lord God, continue to use me for your glory and your honor, oh God. I thank you for those that are healed and delivered right now, set free by the power. Oh, hallelujah. All glory be to your name, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for that one that's being set free right now. Set him free. Set her free right now. In the name of Jesus, I declare life over that one right now. I declare peace over his or her mind right now. In the name of Jesus, glory be to your name, O God. We thank you for this time of study. And I pray, O God, that you would use your sons and your daughters for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, dear friend. I've got one more song for you, and then we are going to depart from you tonight, and I pray that you would stick with us as we go through this series called Prayer is Your Greatest Weapon. Listen to this, Coming Home, once again, Second Chance Ministries. Friend, I hope that you are coming home to the Lord. He wants you to come home to him right now. And as we sign off, until we meet again, remember that God loves you very much. You are never alone. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Giving up is not an option. Until we meet next week, God bless you. Shalom.
Nothing. I ain't gotta worry about nothing. Nothing. I ain't gotta worry about nothing.
In the presence of my enemy.
Nothing. I ain't gotta worry about nothing. ain't gotta worry about nothing.
God bless you, dear friend.